From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. More than 20 years after it opened off-Broadway, Hedwig and the Angry Inch is still daring, provocative, and moving. Enemies and adversaries, they're trying to tear it out. The show focuses on Hedwig Robinson, a German gender-fluid rock singer who navigates love, loss, and identity over the course of the production. Atlanta native Chad Darnell is stepping into the stilettos of the titular character in a new production. It's opening this weekend at the Pinch and Ouch Theater in Atlanta, and he's joining me in the studio. Chad, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So for people who don't know the show, can you give us a little synopsis of Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
The show is about 90 minutes, a rock concert, stand-up comedy. Hedwig has been traveling the country doing her show and telling about her life story.
Well, she's apparently inspired by a German female babysitter slash prostitute, from what I read, who worked for John Cameron Mitchell's family when he was a teenager in Kansas. Just a fascinating sort of beginning. What was your initial experience, and how did you learn about Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
So I saw the movie in the early 2000s in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. So it was 2001 movie.
2001. And loved the movie. I had the soundtrack when I was working at Central Casting. I would play the soundtrack in my office. I wasn't really aware of the history of it with the workshops of the production in New York that John Cameron Mitchell had done at the Jane Hotel. And then years later, it's revived on Broadway, and I saw the production that came here to the Fox Theater and was blown away. And that night, as I was walking home, I was like, all right, I want to do this show because it's such a beast of a show.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Really challenging.
Then I read that night John Cameron Mitchell like quit acting for years after he did the first version of it because it exhausted him so much. Darren Criss and Neil Patrick Harris both said, oh, this was like the hardest thing I've ever done. And I was like, great.
So you decided you want to do that?
I haven't acted in 20 years. Let's do that.
Well, let's get to that soon because you have been a casting director with a long resume behind you. But I want to know a little bit more about prepping for this. Really challenging role. You mentioned Neil Patrick Harris, who won a Tony, I think, for the role. Darren Criss, Ty Diggs, Michael C. Hall. You know, so how do you prepare for this kind of thing? Because there's a lot of different identities that you go through in the play.
Yes. First off, the story is everything. So the script, John Cameron Mitchell wrote an incredible script that gives you a lot of the history, but there's also a lot of history of the character that you don't know, which is what you get to figure out as the actor, which is great. And then just physically, it's a physically demanding role. Most men don't walk around in 7-inch heels. That's a lot of prep work. Physically, the stamina, it was a lot of really hard work of just physically getting into shape for the role. But also studying musicians, studying rock stars, Amy Winehouse, Courtney Love, Billy Joe Armstrong. Like really kind of what makes an artist, what makes a songwriter, why do they tell the stories that they tell? And in what order do they tell them as musicians? And that was really important to me as well, to really study rock and soulful lyricist.
Yeah, it is that sort of glam rock, you know, very out of this world.
David Bowie.
Yes, David Bowie style. Yeah, and that's another thing, the wigs, the makeup. Yeah. What does it feel like to sort of don this character, so to speak?
It's a lot of fun. I always have people on social media reach out to me. It's like, I'm playing Hedwig. Do you have any advice? I'm like, get used to the fact that you're going to have chipped
nail
polish.
You have black nails right now.
Chipped nail polish for, you know, 2 months and everything that you own will be covered in body glitter. You just have to own that, and then it's fine.
How about your own learning how to play Hedwig? Who is Hedwig, calls herself. What did you learn? You played this character last year in Savannah. Yeah. So how did you learn from that experience that you're bringing into this production?
I had about a year of prep time because we were actually thinking about doing a little earlier, but then I had more time because we pushed it. So during that time, it was really researching punk stars, all of that research that you go into physically getting into shape. So then we do the show and then you're away from it. And as actors, we start to learn about things once we have distance from it. So, I mean, 2 months after the show, I was walking down the street and I was like, oh, that's what that thing meant. And, you know, and it was frustrating. Like 6 months later, you'd be like, oh, that thing that was staring at me in the face the entire time, I didn't get that. And so you're frustrated. You almost feel bad for the audience. Like, oh my God, how did I not get that? And so that's when I'm really excited because I feel like I've unearthed all these really great new gems, But I mean, it's also a sea of information that's the brilliance about his script is that there's so much there that every night you can discover something new about the show. Even Sunday night, Grant gave me this direction, and I was like, I don't agree with that. That's wrong. And then I was in tears because I was like, oh, that's the thing I've been missing this entire time. It's awesome. That's what I love about acting.
Well, okay, so the show, it first premiered off-Broadway in 1998. Mm-hmm. Back then, cultural knowledge of LGBTQ issues, especially around gender fluidity, was pretty shallow. How do you think it's speaking to audiences today?
That's a really interesting point because back during that time, there was hardly any conversation of trans. Mm-hmm. And we kind of looked at Hedwig just as a drag queen. And especially when you look at the 90s, a lot of representation of LGBTQIA characters in the media, it was drag queens and AIDS patients. That's all we really saw. Mm. There was no sort of networks and televisions and movies. They weren't writing roles for the gay people that you know in your life. And so when this movie came out, it was also the first time that we'd seen a character like this ever in film. And so I think that's why a lot of people are kind of drawn to the show now, even years later, because we remember that time in our history. Even though it was just 20 years ago when we saw it, it was such an incredible experience to see this character in the media at that point.
Well, I know when we were talking about it with the On Second Thought team prepping for the interview, we had a lot of questions in our little pod about, you know, is Hedwig to be called he or she? Is gender fluid the right term? Right. And we've had a number of debates about, LGBTQ, should the Q be used? Mm-hmm. Now, the story of Hedwig may not have changed in 20 years, but that conversation in the world around it has. So how do you think that changes the experience of the show, you know, for someone watching it, that they're thinking, oh, okay, I've seen this. This is somewhat familiar to me, but still, am I calling it the right thing?
Exactly. And John Cameron Mitchell has been very specific that Hedwig does not identify as trans. Hedwig identifies as genderqueer. So that sort of like piece of information was like, okay, so this is, we know where Hedwig identifies as the character, as the person. And for our community and for the conversations that we're having today, as we are starting to really understand how people identify, it is opening more conversations for people, especially after the show in Savannah. There were so many conversations with trans people who came to see the show because you don't want, some people are offended by the character and the transition and the fact that Hedwig does not identify as male. Sometimes Hedwig was referred to as he, and sometimes it's she. And Hedwig even identifies herself as he and she.
So sort of practice for all of us in
exactly,
some kind of way.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because I feel like I am afraid to get it wrong on some
we
level.
We all are.
Right?
Exactly. And it's just a conversation that will continue to happen, but it's a conversation that, especially with how actors in Hollywood now, do we only cast trans actors now as trans actors? And yes, that would be great if we lived in a world, in a society where an unknown trans actor could make a huge studio film. Unfortunately, the practicality of that, it's going to be a smaller budget just because they need a bankable movie star. And it doesn't matter if it's a trans actor or if it's a straight actor, they got to sell movies and they sell them with a name.
Well, this must be something you've thought about. You've worked as a casting director in film and TV before playing Hedwig, a gender fluid transitioning character. And there have been protests from the trans community when those roles do go to cisgender actors and actresses. I think of like Jeffrey Tambor in Transparent. And I remember, didn't Scarlett Johansson pull out of some role because people were giving her a lot of flack for playing a trans person. So you work with actors who transform themselves into a number of roles. So you just said, you know, you got to sell movies, but do you think for identity's sake, there should be lines in the sand about who can play whom?
No. I know that's the unpopular answer because, but look at what Ryan Murphy did with Pose. he hired so many unknown trans actors, and it was, I haven't seen the Golden Globes yet because I've been working on the show.
They happened Sunday night, I'll tell you that.
But I know that they were nominated, I know that it was nominated, and it was a brilliant show.
And
I
he
loved
wore
the show.
A fantastic outfit on the red carpet, by the way.
Good. But, you know, that was a brilliant show, and they highlighted and showcased trans actors, and it worked. So that was a huge payoff for the trajectory of where we're going. And I hope that we can continue to do those roles. Darren Criss just recently came out in an interview and said that he's not going to take any more gay roles because he doesn't want to take those away from gay actors. Mm. He's been very successful. Glee, Hedwig, The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Like, he's been very successful doing those roles. But I don't think, I mean, yes, it sounds great, and an actor makes their own choices in the roles that they want to play. But I think if you're an actor, you're an actor.
So you're a casting director. Would you have cast you as Hedwig?
Absolutely.
I'm speaking with the Atlanta native Chad Darnell. He's starring in a new production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. What's your favorite song from the production?
Origin of Love.
Okay, let's hear some of that.
Oh. And the fire shot down from the sky in bolts like shining blades of the night. And it ripped right through the flesh of the children of the sun and the moon and the earth. So why do you love this song so much? There's a moment that happens in the song where it just starts the show for me, Chad, the actor, in a trajectory to get to the end game at the end of the show. Mm. And it's a beautiful little, just a little private moment as the actor that some people catch and some people don't. And if you don't catch it, that's fine. But when you do and you realize what happens at the end, it's people cry. And I like that.
Okay, so we're not going to give away any spoilers there, but this has a whole sort of mythological origin to it, too. I don't know. How are you in mythology? Do you want to explain this kind of origins of love idea?
No, it's based on Plato's...
I think the Symposium.
Yes. And there is the mythology in the show. The way that I sort of interpret it for me, Chad, the actor in the show, is the relationship between Hedwig and Tommy.
Okay. So this is a musical, of course, mm-hmm. and the character is a rock star. Mm-hmm. And singing takes the human voice, human communication, to a whole other level. Hedwig absolutely bursting with longing and disappointment and ambition. So could this story be the same or told if the character didn't break into song?
No. No, it would be a really sad little show. The music is so much a part of it, but also, without giving away the ending, Hedwig basically becomes music, if that makes sense. And if it doesn't, then
someone's
going
to have to come
see
the show. Okay, so how about for you as a person who's cast so many, you've done work in Selma, Magic Mike. You worked on Mercy Street. It's
yes.
a PBS production, which, by the way, I do want to note, is airing tonight on GPB television. But what kind of things do you consider when you're casting for a production? What are you looking for in an actor? Is it the role or the actor?
The actor.
Yeah?
For me, it's always the actor first. And I love getting to start new projects because you get to start with a fresh slate. So an actor that might not be right for this movie is perfect for the next one. And it depends if it's a period film, that I'm looking for classical faces. I'm looking for natural bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's if you're in the 19 or the 1800s, you probably wouldn't have bleached blonde hair and physical alterations, tattoos, that kind of thing. So just looking at a breakdown, it's I'm looking for the actor first, but also. And I think what served me well is that I want good people, because when you're on a film set, and I spent many years in extras casting, and now I'm a principal casting director, I'm casting the speaking parts. When you're on set for 18 hours a day, you want good, kind people around you all day long. So the makeup and hair people don't want to deal with a diva. And I had a conversation with the director just last week. He's like, well, I don't mind the divas. And I said, you might not, but the caterers do. Mm. And you want to keep those people happy. So that's one of the things. I believe there's enough roles for everybody to go around. So why not cast good people?
Do you have a favorite casting experience?
I love Magic Mike XXL. I gotta say, that was like summer camp. It was because it was, I did the extras and the principals. Channing Tatum couldn't have been nicer. Steven Soderbergh, getting to work with Steven Soderbergh and watching him edit the movie in the hotel room, in the hotel lobby every night was incredible. We shot in Savannah, traveled to Myrtle Beach. It was just, I mean, they're all great. And I had 5 seasons of Alias with J.J. Abrams. Crossing Jordan. I mean, I'm still friends with everybody that was on that show. It's sad now that we're getting together for funerals when people pass away, but we're all still in touch, and they're all great experiences.
But now you're on stage, a completely different experience. Yeah. How is that energy different?
It's fun because what I grew up as an actor. I was a little kid actor, and then I fell into casting completely by accident. But it was my life's journey, because there weren't a lot of roles for my type back in the early 90s. There are now. But I got a great education in casting, producing, writing, which has been helpful for me. But, you know, now that I get to do the acting thing, and especially with this role, I love my favorite thing. I've never been interested in acting for fame. I don't want to be famous. It's nothing like that. What I love about acting, and what I get to love, because every day that I'm casting, I'm in a casting session, I get to act opposite another actor. I'm reading opposite the other act. So I get to act 8 hours a day. But I love the trickery part of acting. I love where at the end of a show, there's no greater high than an audience member or friend come up and say, I didn't see any of you in that character. Mm. The voice physically, you completely convince somebody that you are somebody completely different. That's what I love about it. It's the trickery part of acting that I love.
So Chad Darnell, he's going to be disappearing into Hedwig, we hope. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you.
He's going to be playing Hedwig in Hedwig and the Angry Inch at the Pinch and Ouch Theater in Atlanta. That's starting this weekend, and the show's running through February. And that's our show for today. We do have a special request for you. If you are somebody who's been directly affected by the government shutdown, or you feel like we all will be, let us know. We're at OST Talk. You can go to our Facebook group. We're looking for folks to tell their story about the impact for them. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. This is On Second Thought.